B-Pod Studios.
To shed some light on it, but whatever light can be shed, we got a man that covers baseball for NBC Sports Philly, Corey Seidman. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Please tell me. Please tell me what's going on.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are relieved that one half of this conversation is over with Machado now finding a team, but obviously there's even more pressure now on the Phillies than there was 2 days ago. And I'm just, man, the reaction in this city is going to be insane if the Phillies miss out on Bryce Harper. Not just, you know, that day when it comes down, but anytime Harper does anything well over the next decade, it's just going to be reminders of, you know, how upset everybody is. But I was kind of surprised that the Padres ponied up the way they did. And I think that more than a few teams were caught semi off guard to see that the Padres offered that $300 million. And, you know, I think that is a major reason why the Phillies didn't end up matching it. They probably didn't think they were going to have to hit a number that high and didn't feel quite comfortable with it.
Well, now they do, and now they have to exceed it. Or do they? Where do they stand right now in this whole thing?
So Scott Boras is going to obviously try to get Bryce Harper more than $300 million. He's going to try to get him more than $325 million so that he can say it's the highest priced player in Major League history. The question is, are there enough teams in the bidding for the Phillies to feel the need to exceed $300 million? Scott Boras isn't going to want to take that L. You know, the fact that Machado got $300 million, if Harper's number starts with a 2, a lot of people are going to interpret it as if, you know, Dan Lozano won and Scott Boras lost, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I would see Boras shifting things if those $300 million offers don't materialize is I think that he would go for a shorter term. I don't mean like 3 years, but I mean something like 7 years with an annual average value that's higher. Perhaps, you know, something like the Phillies might have been willing to offer Machado, which, you know, I get the sense was in a 7 or 8 year range and $250 to $280 million, something like that, that, you know, is $35 billion or so per year, but doesn't reach that astronomical figure. You know, but it's going to take a ton of money. It's obviously going to take 300 plus. Harper is the better player. I think that the perception around the league is that Harper is the better player. And thus, you know, he's going to, in a fair world, he would make more.
All right. But are the Phillies thinking that they didn't want to go to 10 years and that's been the holdup? And so, like, what you just said is more likely to happen?
With Machado, yeah, that was the interpretation, is that they weren't willing to go to 10 years. And so a lot of people are going to ask, well, what's the difference between 8250 and 10300? Well, the difference is that $50 million is being paid to the players age 35 and age 36 seasons, when you pretty much can be assured they're not going to be worth that money. When you sign a player to any deal this long, you're pretty much knowing, okay, if it's 10 years, maybe 6 or 7 of those years are really, really superstar years. And the rest of the contract is going to be, you know, the cost of doing business. But it seems like the Phillies are willing to go a little higher for Harper. And, you know, I also wonder if the context of the previous moves the Phillies have made this offseason kind of altered their preference slightly. The fact that they added, you know, the three best players they added were right-handed batters, Realmuto, Segura, McCutcheon. And if you look at it just from a roster context standpoint, Bryce Harper fits better with this team because of the left-handed power and the fact that this team really needs the offensive centerpiece more than they need the well-rounded star that, you know, I regard Machado as. I wonder how much that played a role in it as well.
All right, tell me what role this plays into it, because we've heard this, and we had Jason Stark on yesterday, and he kind of suggested the same thing, that Harper is just not that affectionate about Philadelphia in general, playing here.
Yeah, there's certainly been more that has been said by Harper and his wife about, you know, their affinity for the Bay Area than there has been for Philadelphia. But, you know, I just think at the end of the day, he's going to take the best offer. Like, unless he just really, really doesn't want to be here and he wants to return to the Nationals and he's willing to accept less money to do that. But I don't see that happening. I think he's going to go with the best combination of money, a chance to win, and comfort. You know, the one thing that I think has been underrated during this entire process has been that Bryce Harper, for the last, 6 years of his career, has been a fierce competitor against the Phillies. He's used to coming in here as a visiting player and being booed and all of those things. And it's like, whether he feels completely loyal to the Nationals at this point or not, there's that latent loyalty that's built up over years and years. And, you know, I wonder if this guy ever really even envisioned that he could one day be playing for the Phillies. So that could play a role as well. But for the people who are saying that he's not keen on Philadelphia, I wouldn't take the fact that he's unsigned as any evidence of that, because, you know, obviously he's not signed by any team. So it doesn't mean that he's not interested in playing in any city. I think it's just one of those kind of thought processes that comes up because this free agent period has taken so long.
All right. Here's the upshot of this whole thing. Boris would probably be out of his mind to take less than 10 years. That Machado got 10 years because that puts his client going for another free agent contract at age 33 and his value will be diminished by then. So he's going to take 10 years. So I'll ask you this. If the Phillies tomorrow or today go, all right, you got your 10 at 350, does that get it done?
Yeah, I think that would get it done. I think if the Phillies offer 10-350 tomorrow, it would get done. Based on what Matt Klentak, when he said to reporters yesterday in Clearwater, there were two ways I took that. One, that the Phillies aren't going to bid against themselves, obviously. They're not going to go to 10-350 just to get something done. They're still going to be, you know, pragmatic about it. The other thing was, that was definitely Klentak talking to Boris through the media. You know, that was Klentak showing Scott Boris, I'm not going to be altered by how crazy this fan base is and how much they want Bryce Harper. I'm still going to go about this the way any GM would. So I think 10-350 would get it done. I won't be surprised if those end up being the terms. You know, it's just a matter of, is there going to be another team that puts pressure on the Phillies to actually hit that mark? Is there going to be an 11th hour mystery team? The crazy thing about this offseason is nobody predicted the Padres would end up with Manny Machado. There wasn't a single person, a baseball writer, anybody who predicted at the beginning of the offseason he could end up there. And it was yet another cautionary tale that the connections you see made in public aren't always the most meaningful.
There are two fears I have. One is the San Francisco fear, because I know he would like playing there. The other is the Nationals sneaking in here. If the Nationals now have been revived by this and they go, okay, we're going to pay you 10 to 325, does he take that deal? Which is why I'm saying the Phillies have to go to 350 tomorrow.
Yes, I think that if there are two offers on the table for Harper at 10-325 from the Nationals or 10-350 from the Phillies, I think he would take that Nationals offer. You know, the other thing to keep in mind though with the Nationals, all of their highest priced players, they have deferrals, a lot of deferred money in their contracts. Scherzer, Strasburg, Patrick Corbin, even some of their lower priced guys like Brian Dozier has deferred money. So if you're a player, you know, you would obviously prefer to not have to defer any of that money and not have to wait beyond those 10 years for it. So that's a way that the Phillies could exceed the Nationals' offer. But I just think that comfort factor, that's a real consideration here. And that's why if the two offers are similar enough, I still think Harper would lean toward going back to Washington. That being said, I don't know that the Nationals can really even do that, 10 for 325 at this point. They've spent $180 million already in free agency. They have other guys they have to worry about in the future. Anthony Rendon is going to command a nine-figure salary himself after this year. And you know, the Washington outfield is well set up even without Harper right now. I wrote at the end of January that I did at that point think Harper was going back to Washington based on how the market was playing out, but that was under the assumption the Phillies were going to end up with Machado. At this point, I don't think the Phillies are going to, I just don't think they're going to put themselves in a position where they're going to lose out to the Nationals of all teams for Harper, because that would just completely negate all the money that the Phillies have spent over the last two offseasons. The only team that spent more money than the Phillies the last two off seasons is the Padres because of what they did yesterday.
I got it. But Corey, are they playing a dangerous game to the point where they can lose them?
Yeah, it's definitely a dangerous game. And I think that's what's frustrating a lot of fans, is that when you hear stupid money at the beginning of the off season, the thought process of a fan is, okay, they're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever needs to get this deal done, they're going to do. But now you kind of see the way it's actually playing out when it's the GM negotiating the contract, and I'm sure John Middleton is going to be more vocal than ever before now that this thing is kind of nearing the end, and I'm sure that he's pretty antsy himself. But yes, it's a dangerous game, and if the Phillies don't end up with one of these guys, they can't just say, oh, well, you know, there's good free agents down the line. There might be Mookie Betts, there might be Anthony Rendon, et cetera, because those guys might never reach free agency.
What's your instinct tell you?
I do think they're going to end up with Harper, just because of how negative the optics would be. And just the fact that, like I said, they spent $249 million the last two off seasons. You don't spend all that money to put together an 85-win team. You do that so that when you're in place to add this one final piece like they can right now, that you add it. And the fact that Harper fits in so well to their timeline, 26 years old, to a core that's mostly 27, 28, it just, everything about it fits so well.
All right. Corey, great information. Thanks, bud. I'll talk to you.
Thanks, Mike.
There he is, Corey Simon at NBC Sports Philadelphia. He thinks they're going to get him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.